You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
And you know what that means. It's time for another episode of the Phoenix Sports Podcast presented by the DraftKings Sportsbook app, America's top-rated sportsbook app. You guys know what to do. Hit that like button, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and leave us a five-star review. And while you're at it, if you're in the chat, say hi, say what's up. We love to include you in the show. It's your girls. It's Michaela Perkins. And it's Cheersten Soussel. Cheers. Happy Friday.
Hey, girl. Happy Friday.
How is it going? How was your week?
Honestly, I had the best time. Thank you for asking.
You're welcome.
I had the best time last night out at Four Peaks.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
Yes.
What'd you do?
You missed out, my friend. Yes, Lindsay is screaming offside of the camera because we had the best time. So they have this haunted tour.
Okay.
And basically they have like a little setup, but I don't know if you guys knew this, Four Peaks is actually haunted. Seriously. And so it's like this kind of like haunted house type experience, except the stories that they tell and the environment that you're in is actually haunted and they're real ghost stories. And it was freaky as heck, but it was so fun. So
no, ma'am.
I said this on my Instagram last night, like wasn't paid or anything. I was just like, I had such a good time. Like I need to tell everybody, if you're looking for some sort of like haunted experience this fall or Halloween season, check out Four Peaks Brewery. The best experience I've ever had in terms of like anything haunted.
Question. Yeah. I don't believe in ghosts.
I don't.
I need a ghost. I need a ghost experience to get me to believe in ghosts. Well, would this be an effective test for me?
Yes. So go talk to the guy that runs it and he will tell you all the stories and his personal accounts too. Like I talked to him afterwards and was like, dude, like, is this stuff real? And he was like, this is my personal experience. This is my personal experience. Like I have to go break down. Like I'm actually like afraid to go back there
this
by myself.
This sounds
like
horrible.
Yes.
This is why I didn't go. I'm terrified of things like this. I don't like ghost stories. I don't like ghosts. Like I don't want that negative energy anywhere in my space. Like,
well, what
keep those demons
good,
away
what if
from me.
Good ghosts?
Can there be good ghosts? I don't know. I don't think so. But I'm glad you had fun, Tiersten. I was safely tucked in my bed at 8 p.m. because that is more my speed. Scary ghost stories, not my speed.
I need to make sure that I have Carter. I'm so sorry. Carter's the one that runs it. I needed to make sure that I got his name out there. Carter was fantastic. Go check it out. And yes, Sean, talk to Carter. He will convince you that it's real.
Yeah, not my speed. What is my speed, however, is furniture. I love furniture.
Ghost too much, but laying in a nice comfy bed, turn me up.
Yes, I was tucked in my bed at 8 p.m. tonight, and I'm moving at the end of this month, which I'm so excited about, but I'm getting all new furniture, and I'm going to get it for more furniture.
Same here.
Who also happens to be our sponsor, who gave us these beautiful chairs and our lovely new studio. So if you're also looking for new furniture like I am, check out morefurniture.com. They're having a fall sale right now, and I'm about to load up on my beautiful new apartment furniture. I am stoked, but thank you to More, as always, for supplying us with our beautiful office and studio furniture.
And they have great deals, so nothing scary or spooky.
All right.
About the transition. Getting your furniture.
No. Those deals. Cheersten, those deals are scary good.
Oh, there you
go. Oh, my God. All
right. Deals are scary good. Oh, that was even better. Great job, Sean.
Holy cow. All right. That was a lot. A lot of that made me want to say what? And that is our first segment of today. Oh my gosh, Cheersten.
There was so that happened in the sports landscape in Arizona this past week that truly had my jaw on the floor and had me saying, say what?
We went from 1 week of that right into another week of it.
Like, we can't have nice things in Arizona. We all know this, but I just am bamboozled. I am confused. I am beside myself. I don't know what to make of this situation. I'm sure you all know by now what's going on with DeAndre Ayton, but just in case you live under a rock and you missed it, Suns training camp started this past week. And during media day on Monday, DeAndre Ayton spoke to the media for the first time since he got that four-year, $133 million contract. And you would think, Kirsten, that if you just got $133 million, you would be stoked, right? Like, so excited.
You would be, unless the way it happened is the way it happened with DeAndre.
Okay, but I don't know about you, but money talks. Like, if you give me $133 million, I'm going to be happy till the day I die.
You know what sometimes is bigger than money? Ego.
Ugh. Well, there might be some egos at play because the media asked DeAndre Ayton if he was happy to be here. And, well... That's it.
That gives me the same vibes of when you approach me with that dang mini mic. That's how I respond. That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah. So I don't know about you, Kirsten, but that did not sound like happiness. I don't know what that was, but it wasn't a happy-go-lucky DeAndre Ayton that we're normally used to. And I feel like it just like set training camp in a weird mood. Like, it got training camp off to like a weird start.
No, what got training camp off to a weird start is the fact that the Robert Sarver situation happened, and now he's selling the team, and everyone talked about it for the first time, and then the DeAndre Ayton stuff just added on top of it.
Okay, that's fair. There has been a very big dark cloud hanging over this organization for quite some time now, and of course, obviously, the Robert Sarver stuff just put an entire sour note around anything Suns related. And then we get to training camp and we finally have a resolution about the Robert Sarver thing. We all know that he's planning to sell the team and we're thinking, okay, maybe now things could be okay. And then DeAndre Ayton comes out and with the most monotone press conference I think I've ever seen in the history of media, he just did not look happy to be there, Kirsten. I don't really know what to make of that. I mean, I don't want to read too much into someone's tone or how they answer questions, but it's hard not
to,
like...
That's not the DA that we've seen. Like, I mean, here's the thing. Clearly, we know that he has not or had not at that point spoken to Monty Williams. So, you know, that goes back to the way that their season ended last year and Monty and DA getting into a verbal argument during that game. So his issues go back... probably even before that, but like, let's just say the beginning of it was that little riff that was caught on camera and talked about all off season long. So he has not talked to Monty ever since then. He obviously didn't get the contract he wanted last year. Mm-hmm. It got dragged into the summer. Pacers, you know, got involved, and then the Suns eventually matched that offer, but they were able to, with the way that it all played out without getting into it, they were able to essentially cut themselves a little bit of a deal by going that route. And so DA, you know, maybe didn't know where he stood with the organization for many different reasons. And when I say ego, I'm not like, I think that has like a very negative connotation to it. Like, oh, it's just your ego talking or whatever. But I say it in a sense of like, you know, guys want to be wanted. We know that by the Jay Crowder situation, which I think we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Yeah.
Guys want to feel respected and wanted and respected by like, you know, like show me that you want me to be here. And then I mean something to the team, AKA put your money where your mouth is, or show me respect in, you know, in having conversations that are going to be difficult. And so obviously it seems like he feels some type of way about the way that he was treated.
Yeah.
And so whether or not he got, you know, X amount of money or not, or whatever the case is, relationally, things were broken, right? That's what it seems like.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head.
you talked a little bit about tough conversations that were needed to be had, but it doesn't seem like any conversations were had. Then following up on Tuesday when he spoke to the media, DeAndre Ayton let us all in on a little secret about his relationship with Monty Williams.
How have you and Monty kind of been able to move
on? I haven't spoken to Monty. No, I haven't spoken to him at all. Ever since the game.
So not even
no.
Oh, but
that game
you really good. So?
I'm here.
Are you happy to be here,
DA? Yeah, I'm all right. I'm in between those lines now, I just work. You know, I'm not playing for myself. You know, I have an organization across my chest, and a name on my back I have to represent. I'm just here to work.
If you could talk to Monty, what would you want to talk to him about? What would you want to tell him?
Huh?
Well, if you could talk to Monty, what would you want to talk to him about? What would you want to tell him?
I can show him better than I can tell him.
What do you say at the end? I can show him better than I can tell him?
Yeah. Holy yikes.
Dang.
Basically, DeAndre let us all know that he hasn't spoken to his head coach since the Game 7 fiasco against the Dallas Mavericks last year, or last season, I guess. Not last year, last season. I'm worried, Kirsten. That is not good. That is very bad. There should have been some conversations had between those two way before the start of training camp in this new season. And I'm fine putting most of that blame on Monty Williams' shoulders. Like, obviously, things were not well between those two during that game. There was some lip reading happening. Monty was accusing DeAndre of giving up on the team. Obviously, DeAndre sat for the rest of the game after a certain point. So there was definitely some not good things happening. And the fact that they went this entire offseason without talking, while also knowing that DeAndre Ayton is unhappy with his contract situation, there's still a chance that he could come back to this team. All the trade rumors with Kevin Durant were swirling. Like, all of this stuff has been piling up on it, up on itself. And that's probably why DeAndre was so, like, lackluster on Monday. But then on Tuesday to find out that he hasn't spoken to Monty, I'm sorry, that is a huge red flag. And there should have been so many conversations that happened between those two in between now and then. And Monty did speak to the media and he said that he hasn't spoken to a lot of the guys. And when he was asked if the situation could become problematic between him and Ayton, he said not at all. So Monty doesn't really think that there's an issue, but I do, Cheerson. I don't think that's acceptable.
So if DeAndre thinks that there's an issue, then there's an issue.
Yeah.
And he clearly does. So it might not be anything for Monty. Maybe he came into it genuinely thinking like, oh, well, maybe we like patch things up that night or like whatever. Oh, it's not a big deal. It was just like a little riff on the court and those things happen. I mean, that's not uncommon to happen, right?
Yeah.
So maybe maybe in his own mind, he genuinely felt like, oh, it was no big deal. But A, you would probably want to make sure that's true. And B, if DeAndre thinks it's a big deal, then it is. Obviously,
yeah.
It takes two people in this situation. I definitely think that Monty should have at minimum reached out to DeAndre, even if it was just, hey, congrats on the contract. I'm looking forward to, you know, having you for, you know, another season or two or whatever the case till January, like whatever it was.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm looking forward to getting the opportunity to, you know, to coach you some more or something like that. Like, even something like that where you're not really addressing like, hey, let's sit down and talk about this thing that happened between us and, you know, the way that the season ended. Like, you could still just kind of extend, what is that, like an olive branch? I don't even know if I'm using
analogy
correct.
Yes.
Of just being like, hey, congratulations. And at least you know that like, okay, well, maybe things are like okay with us. Like, I appreciate you reaching out to me in that way. I get where he's saying like, you know, I gave a lot of the guys a break. Well, you did, you know, you talked to Devin Booker. Talk to some guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think this one is definitely on Monty. This is maybe a little bit of a hot take, but I do feel like DeAndre's maybe being a little immature about it as well and creating this situation, over dramatizing a situation in his head. Like, listen, no, there isn't a single person on that team, including your head coach, that doesn't want you there.
Yeah.
Like, you can have disagreements. And you know what? If he did give up on that team at the end of the season in that last game, then like, that's on you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, like, at some point, you just have to be like, okay, I got my contract. I got my money. It's a new season. In order for me to put my best step forward and for the team as well, like, I need to let this go.
Yeah.
He needs to figure that out sooner rather than later as well. Because at this point, and I know Chris mentioned that Gerald wrote an article on gophnx.com that kind of went through this, like, it's not too late to patch things up with DeAndre. And this was something that is, like, kind of like a self-inflicting wound that they should get out in front of and that they can turn around. But...
Yeah.
It needs to go both ways. DeAndre needs to have a more mature approach to this. And Monty Williams, without a doubt, needs to address the situation, apologies, like whatever, or like just come to some sort of agreement for the better of everybody involved and just move forward.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I think it takes two to tango. And I think most of the responsibility of this fractured relationship relies on Monty's shoulders, because he is the head coach. He is the leader of this organization, and it is his responsibility to bridge that gap between him and his player. But I also think too that, you know, DA has a responsibility to be realistic about the situation that he's in, which he was. I can't commend him enough for how he carried himself this entire past season when the rookie Mac contract extension deadline passed and he didn't get the extension he was hoping for. And he put up and shut up, and he didn't really make a big stink out of it. He went out there and he played. Obviously, some tensions boiled over in game seven, which we saw come to fruition on the court. But I still think he did a great job of conducting himself in a professional manner, despite how he might have felt about not getting that rookie max contract extension. And so now that we're at this point, he got paid, he got money. It might not have been as much as he wanted, but he got it. I think too, like, now DeAndre needs to keep up that professional attitude that he had all last season, which is obviously easier said than done when you're a professional athlete. But I think they need to put this to bed. Like, they need to sit in a room and hash it out or whatever it takes, but they need to get on the same page for the betterment of this organization. Because if this organization is going to win a championship like we all expect them to this year, they need to be on the same page. This team cannot be successful if there are deep fissures within the organization between the head coach and the players. So whatever needs to be done, whatever ego needs to be swallowed, whatever pride needs to be swallowed, it needs to happen so that the Suns can have a successful year. And I did want to ask you a question, Tirsten, before we move on to the Jay Crowder situation. Okay. David Bailey in the comments brought up something, and he said, I think the management and coaching staff know that Ayton is not going to be here long term. It makes more sense when it's viewed through that lens.
No.
What do you think about that?
Here's the thing. If what I know about Monty Williams and what I know about James Jones, first off, let me just put that aside. It's bad business practice.
Yeah.
Mac, like, I don't care if I sat there and was like, well, you know, I know that you're not going to be here that long, so I'm going to treat you a certain type of way. Like, that is bad business practice, and that is a business of relationships, right? Like, like, sports teams are a business of relationships. We can see how just even a lack of communication or an idea of disrespect, how, like, deep of a seed can be planted, and that can destroy a lot of things. So there is no part of me that thinks that is how they are thinking. I also think higher of Monty Williams and James Jones as human beings. And sure, we all fall short. And I totally am here to say that I think Monty fell short by not reaching out to DeAndre Ayton. I do believe that. So, like, everybody who thinks that I'm, like, blaming this on DA or whatever, I'm just saying there is a little bit of blame to be had on DA's part as well. And if it continues, like, if it's nipped, you know, in camp, and by the time the season starts, they mend their relationship, whatever, he forgets about it. Like, I'm just saying, if that's not the case, like, he does have a part in all of this. Okay, that's all I'm saying. But, you know, Monty fell short for sure in terms of leadership, but he would absolutely not be like, yeah, this guy's not going to be here. Who knows? Who the heck knows? What if DeAndre Ayton goes out there and he is, like, insanely good?
Yeah.
And so you're just going to trade him regardless?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. They're not approaching it like that. Like, no way.
Yeah, getting a temperature check by some of you guys in the comments. Thank you all again so much for watching and for commenting. We love to include you in the show. David Bailey did come back and say it would be funny if this was all because his baby kept him up at night and that's why he was grumpy. Don't think that's what's going on, but yes, that would be funny.
I think the baby's a little older now, right?
I don't know. I'm not sure how old Dia's baby is. the, I don't know how to, free mind. There we go. Hopefully DA takes his aggression out on the court and on the rim. No more soft play. Someone said from the footage at practice, DA and the team are not having any issues. This is all speculation by us. That's fair. I mean, we are allowed to speculate.
No, but nobody ever said that, like, they are having issues.
Right.
Yeah. It's just there's obviously some stuff that needs to be talked out. And it would be to everybody's best interest if they just talk it out and move on from it.
Yeah. Daniel saying free agents would see that as not, would see that meaning like the front office treating players that way and then would not want to come here. So they don't, he doesn't see that being the case at all. Mm-mm. I agree. You have to be very careful with how you conduct your business in this type of industry. Monty Williams has been saying the wrong thing. Some guys don't need it. He said it. So yeah, I mean, reassurance is definitely something that Monty needs to give his players. Somebody else said that, you know, DA is a 24-year-old. The other is the coach. It's in his job description to talk to players. I totally agree. That's what I said earlier. Like, a lot of this rests on Monty's shoulders. Like, Monty is the head coach. He is the leader of this team. It is on him to mend these bridges. So I am 1,000% on the same page as you are. One bridge that can't be mended, it looks like.
Well, this one is.
This one is way beyond repair. Jay Crowder is not happy, and he made his unhappiness very apparent all over social media. He took to Twitter and he tweeted some words in all caps, which is his normal style.
I don't know why he does that.
I don't either. But he tweeted out, "One must seek work where he is wanted, where he is needed. I am thankful for what these past 2 years have taught me. Now I must take on another challenge with continued hard work and dedication. For those of you who closed the door on me, thank you. 99 back soon."
You should have been yelling that, I feel like. I feel like whenever I read something like this, I feel like he's screaming the whole thing.
Yeah.
One must seek work where what is wanted.
Yeah. Just screaming the whole time.
Yeah, he's just on the top of like the top of Footprint Center, just screaming it to no one in particular.
Yeah. So this tweet, we actually kind of did like a little detective work and we found out that this tweet came 40 minutes after the media was notified via email that Jay and the Suns mutually agreed he would not be participating in training camp. Yeah. Obviously, this is a reaction to that news. Kirsten, geez, oh man, this is not good for the Suns also.
Yeah, I mean, unless they're able to get a good piece in return for him. But I hate to see that because I remember talking to Jay Crowder's dad during the NBA Finals 2 years ago, and he was telling me the story of how Jay ended up in Phoenix.
Yeah.
And it was basically that Chris Paul and Devin Booker were talking amongst themselves, and they felt like there was just like one ingredient that was missing, and the type of like, you know, like kind of like enforcer that Jay Crowder is, you know, just a rough defender, very physical guy, got a chip on his shoulder and attitude, like there was, and they felt that that was Jay. And so basically they called him up and said, "Hey, we want you in Phoenix." And so to have like, I don't know if something also happened between his teammates, but I know that like Chris and Devin Booker and, you know, the rest of his teammates, like they wanted him in Phoenix and he was a big part of getting them to the finals, mm-hmm. you know, 2 years ago. So I would think like, you know, I would want to also be where I had good relationships with my teammates.
Yeah.
And he still had a year left in his contract. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think there's speculation that he wanted an extension and this and that and like whatever. But I would think that like the dynamic of this team and, you know, having two teammates with that are like not even just like NBA players and like good guys on the team, but like big time NBA like names, like them wanting you here on a team, unless that went to crap too, like I think that should mean something to you beyond what, you know, the front office is willing to give you in terms of a contract extension. So
yeah.
I don't know where things went south and how they got to this point, but Jay's been frustrated all offseason, it looked like, because this
yes.
is not the first social media
unhappy
post
tweet.
He's had.
No,
yeah.
He's tweeted and deleted a couple times
yes.
this offseason. Unfortunately for Jay, the internet is forever and so are screenshots. So we all have been aware of how unhappy he's been this entire offseason. And I think if I were to make an educated guess about why that unhappiness exists is obviously because he did want a contract extension and he was not getting it. You already mentioned that he only has a year left on the deal currently that he's playing on the Sun with the Suns. So I'm assuming that all of this is just stemming from the fact that he is very upset that there wasn't an extension agreed upon on in this offseason. Obviously, I don't know for sure, so don't come at me. But if I had to make an educated guess, that's what I would say. Because when there's these types of, like, when there's this much displeasure, this unhappiness in an organization, what am I trying to say?
No, displeasure? I think you got it.
Yeah. When there's that much displeasure on a player's behalf, it, like, 99% of the time has to do with money. Like, that's at the core of, like, a lot of what these issues are. So, unfortunately, obviously, the extension wasn't agreed upon, and now the Suns are probably definitely going to be trading Jay.
Can I respond to some of these comments?
Yeah.
So, what is this? Debt? I don't know what that is.
I think it's Ted Lubin. It's just that the names are backwards.
Thank you,
producer Sean.
What I'm here for.
The Crowder thing is just business. He's 32 and losing his starting spot. He wanted a contract extension like PJ Tucker just got. Okay, I understand. I understand, like, you know, wanting to get your bag. I totally understand that. But yeah. you, there's a way to go about it, and there's a way to not go about it. And I think for, you know, his situation, like, it just looks bad on him. And I hate to see that because I've always really, really liked Jay Crowder.
Yeah.
I guess it's just, like, in line with his personality, like the FJ Crowder stuff. And he's just like, he's not afraid of any sort of confrontation or hate or whatever. And it goes along with that. But I genuinely like him. And I hated to see it get to this point with the posts and this and that and whatever.
Yeah.
So that's one, like, aspect of it all.
But what's one more PR nightmare in the midst of all of them that we've had this offseason?
Yeah.
I mean, good Lord, the Suns can't catch a break.
A good thing, though, that is coming from this, and somebody in the chat mentioned
Cam Johnson. Ooh, what was that? That was like a demon in my throat. I think so.
You sure you didn't go to Four Peaks and get possessed by one of the ghosts or something?
Yeah. I think the Four Peaks ghosts are haunting me.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I don't know who mentioned that they think that Cam Johnson's going to get more playing time because of this.
Yeah.
But he will. He's been named a starter. Mm-hmm. So, that's great. We love the Twins. Want to see more of the Twins. And Cam Johnson's a fantastic player. So at least they have the pieces still. It's not like because of Jay Crowder, because of his absence, like they have these gaping holes. And to be honest with you, it might have been trending in that way anyway.
Yeah, it looks like it was. Yeah. I mean, this is Cam Johnson's fourth year in the league. He's heading into a season after being a finalist for Sixth Man of the Year. Like, the Suns have put and invested a lot of time into Cam. So this is Cam's time. Like, the Suns need Cam to come in there and kick that door down and show up and be that player that they thought he was when they drafted him, which, not saying that he hasn't. Like, he has shown so much good, positive things, and he has only trended up since the Suns drafted him. But I'm kind of like, I don't want to like dance on Jay Crowder's grave, but like, I'm really excited to see more of Cam Johnson this season. And if that's a byproduct of Jay Crowder throwing a fit and demanding to be traded, like, I guess it's a necessary evil, because I really, really, really have a lot of faith and hope in Cam Johnson, and I will never be unhappy about more Cam Johnson minutes.
Yeah, I agree. I want to get into some Cardinals talk as well, which is, you could say all of Sunday was a big say what for the Cardinals.
This whole week has just been a big say what.
Yeah. And I said, say what, when you called me up and said you had tickets to the game on Sunday.
Yes.
I was so thrilled about it. But like, I was basically taking a nap when you called.
No, it's like, Jason, so I was like, let's go to the game. Wake up.
How much time do I have? And I didn't know. I've never been to a game as a fan. This was my first game ever, NFL game. First game at State Farm Stadium as a fan. And so I was
Mine too.
I don't know what to do with parking, though, but I don't want to get caught in like this big mess, and I don't have cash. I don't have time to run to the bank right now. Like, I don't know if they accept card. Like, I didn't know what the situation was. So I was like, you know what? Does the Game Time app have parking passes as well? And sure as heck enough, they do. And so I hopped on there like in, you know, a second. Using the link in the show notes. And in like 2 seconds, found a parking spot. And this is just a pro tip for you guys. If you go to Cardinals games, the easiest thing for me was to park over at like the Westgate and like parking areas instead of directly around State Farm Stadium, because I got in and out a lot quicker. So that's just like a personal side note. But anyway, I like picked the lot. Michaela was already over at Westgate. So I was like, okay, I'm going to pick one closer to you. It was like $20. bought it, showed the app when I got there, and it was the easiest experience ever. So we talk a lot about the Game Time app and using it to get like last minute just tickets to games,
up to 60% off.
Concerts, yeah, up to 60% off. But if you ever need like a parking pass to a game as well, Game Time app is where it's at.
You have, make sure you use the link in our description to get those tickets, those game tickets, those concert tickets, the parking passes. You have to use the link in our show notes in order for us to get that support. So whatever you need Cardinals tickets, you need ASU hockey tickets, you need ASU football tickets, you need Suns tickets, the Game Time app has you covered. But just remember to click that link in our show notes to get those tickets, and you'll be doing us a great deal of help. And you can find tickets up to 60% off, so it is a great, great option for all you procrastinators out there just like me.
It's also in the comments right now, so you can copy that link.
There you go.
Go get your tickets. Easy.
So exciting.
Was definitely me that did it, not David.
What's not exciting is the start to the Cardinals season. Good Lord Almighty. The Cardinals are 1-2. They lost to the Chiefs and to the Rams last week after only scoring 3 field goals that entire game. The offense was MIA. The secondary was exposed, as it has been all season. The injuries are rampant on that roster, and it just doesn't look like things are going very well for the Cardinals. But thankfully, our QB1 seems to see a light at the end of the tunnel.
I mean, you have to. You got to stay. Like I said, it's just a little bit of adversity. You know, that's never hurt anybody. You know, I think everybody in this room has felt adversity. Everybody in the locker room has felt adversity. Otherwise, we probably wouldn't be where we are. So I'm not too much fazed by it at all. I know the guys aren't. Obviously, it feels ugly right now to feel the feeling of losing and stuff like that. But, we definitely see a light in the tunnel and continue to work hard and get better.
I guess you
have to look at it that way.
Yeah,
you absolutely have to. If he said anything other than that, I would be like, what the heck? So there's no like good way to respond to any of this other than like, yeah, like we faced adversity. I think we're going to be better for it. We're going to get it together. I know we're going to get it together sooner rather than later. Like, what else are you possibly going to say? Oh, man, this sucks. We suck. Like, you're not going to say that. Like,
who are you impersonating?
I don't know.
Who was that?
Oh, man.
Aw, shucks. Yeah, that is the only response you can have. I don't think Kyler would get up there and pull a DeAndre Ayton and just be like, yeah, we suck. I don't know what else you want me to tell you. So I'm happy that at least he sees a light at the end of the tunnel, I guess. That means they're keeping their spirits relatively positive. I mean, I don't really know how you can have the best spirits when you've been outscored 31-0 in the first 2 quarters in the past 3 weeks. But if Kyler Murray sees a light at the end of the tunnel, then I guess I can convince myself to see a light at the end of the tunnel, too. I mean, I guess I can buy into the logic that it's better to face adversity now in this part of the season than in the last part of the season, like the Cardinals are historically known for. So if we have to go through this now to avoid a giant collapse at the last half of the season, then by all means, like, let's go through adversity now so that we can have our shit together come the last half of the season. I mean, I don't know, Tristan. Like, I guess that's the logic that we have to go with, right?
Yeah, I think that in years past, the Cardinals have shown an issue. I'm thinking of like maybe like the Lions lost towards the end of the season last year of just like, man, like you have to show up for games. And yeah. I know this was, and you know, I'm talking about like a game or games from the past or whatever. This is a new season, but it kind of reminds me the way that they've had such slow starts to this season of like, we've seen this before. Like, what does it take to motivate? Like, if you're not motivated, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you possibly doing? So that's the frustrating part. It's like, it becomes more of like a mental thing and like a, I don't know, like a determination or what, like, whatever the case is, like it goes beyond just like personnel, and they are like, you know, light at the end of the tunnel could be DeAndre Hopkins' return here in a few weeks or something like that. But if you even have the right personnel, let's just say you do, and let's just say all these injuries that they're dealing with, it doesn't really affect them and it's not a personnel issue. Well, what the heck is it going to take to make you guys wake up and show up for game day when the kickoff, is, you know, begins. So
yeah. Fire the coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's the narrative right now. People are calling for Cliff's job as well as Steve Keim's job. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it is largely on Cliff's shoulders to not only prepare the guys in terms of a game plan, but to motivate them to want to go out there. Although they're also grown-ass men. Like, I'll just never understand, like, how teams can go out there unmotivated. And, you know, it's unfortunate that this is something that we're also dealing with these slow starts. You haven't scored a dang touchdown or point in the first half of a game this year. I mean, like, what are you guys doing?
I will say, I feel like it's similar to the ASU situation where, like, it might not necessarily be that they're not motivated, but, like, if you don't have any belief in the system and, mm-hmm. like, what the coach is doing, which I think was the problem with ASU and Herm Edwards, like, it's going to be hard to, like, fully believe in what you're trying to do. And if you don't believe in what you're going to try to do, it's hard to, like,
yeah,
really fake the motivation that you would have had otherwise if you had full faith in what's happening.
Like, it must be way worse than anyone knows.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it might be another week before we see the light at the end of the tunnel because the Cardinals are taking on the Panthers on Sunday. And
it's supposed to be rainy as
it's supposed to be rainy.
It'll be interesting.
But the injury report came out today, and it is longer than my grocery list. Hollywood, Zaven Collins, Rodney Hudson, Rondell Moore, Matt Prater, J.J. Watt are all listed as questionable. A.J. Green, Rashad Lawrence, and Zeke Turner are all listed as out. They have lost 6 straight games to the Panthers, so the Panthers have the Cardinals' number, and I am sure they are aware of that. So it will probably be a little bit, maybe the Cardinals can pull out some magic and beat the Panthers for the first time in 6 games. But it's going to be an uphill battle, especially now that we have the injury report and it doesn't look like it's going to be a fair fight, for lack of a better term. Kirsten, what are you expecting out of this matchup with the Panthers?
I think a lot of the guys that are listed as questionable, there's a good chance
so they'll
play.
Yeah.
But, like, either way, what I was saying about this situation is just, like, if you take a look at, like, who's on these reports and dealing with injuries already at this point in the season, like, Rondale Moore hasn't played a game. J.J. Watt, he's experiencing another injury.
Color me shocked.
You know, and then the rest of the, you know, even Zaven Collins, like, what are you going to do without Zaven? Like, these are the guys, though, that you just hate to show up on an injury report. Yeah. Like,
Hollywood, oh my God, we can't afford to lose another receiver. We genuinely can't.
Right.
We don't have anybody else to throw it to.
Yeah. And so I just look at this and I'm like, okay. And then, like, you know, even like, you know, Rodney Hudson, obviously he's your center. So you kind of need the guy. And, like,
he's kind of important.
Necessarily do well without him when you didn't have him, you know, in the past. And so, anyway, you just hate to see it. And
we have to break the curse, though. That's all I want. I just want to beat the Panthers. Like, if we lose for the next 2 weeks after that, fine. Like, just please beat the Panthers. I'm so tired of losing to the Panthers. Like, this curse is ridiculous. Like, 6 straight losses. What are we doing?
Well, it's just like an East Coast thing, right? Like, they've had, like, this curse of like playing on the East Coast in general. But yeah, the Panthers, don't let listen. Matt Rhule cannot haunt this team, okay? Like, we're
not refuse.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, the DraftKings does already have the lines out for this game. The Cards are 1-point underdogs against the Panthers. So it's actually a lot closer than I maybe anticipated it would be, Kirsten.
Yeah, I was not listening to what you just said just now.
Also,
the Cardinals are 1-point underdogs with the DraftKings Sportsbook app.
Yeah. What about it? I think that's...
Do you think that's fair?
They do not historically play well in East Coast games. They're missing some pieces. They've lost 6 straight to Carolina. I guess something to throw in there, even though it was with a different team. Kyler's always beaten Baker.
Okay, so there's hope.
You could throw that in there. But yeah, I mean, it's just like a one point favorite, 1-point underdog. I mean, that's pretty much a close game. And I would think that this is going to be a close game, also considering the elements that everyone's going to have to endure. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, if you want to get in on this action and bet on this game, new customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win, and you'll get $200 in free bets if they do. If that's not enough, everyone can boost their winnings with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Right now, for every leg you add, you can boost your winnings savings up to 100% with payouts bigger than ever. Why bet on football anywhere else? You guys better be using that DraftKings Sportsbook app. To make things even sweeter, you can throw down on stepped up same game parlays once per game all season long. It's simple. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code PHNX. That's promo code PHNX on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See our show notes for details.
Charles bringing up it haunted by Cam Newton. I'm back. That was the most whack-ass thing that ever happened last year. Whack all of a sudden, he comes in. Yep. He's scoring touchdowns. They alternate quarterbacks. He's like this big, surge of like energy, and everyone's excited that he's back. And it was just like this wonky game plan that, you know, That should haunt Cardinals fans
absolutely.
In and of itself.
You know what also what else is whack ass? LeSean McCoy's comments on Kyler Murray.
I'm not going to let you get away with that. LeSean McCoy, a.k.a. Shady, Bills legend.
That's what I meant to say. Did LeSean I not say
McCoy.
That?
You said LeSean McCoy. Oh, LeSean but McCoy. I just wanted to right, I just really brought it up to say that he's a Bills legend.
Of course he did.
Like Von Miller.
He said some whack ass things about Kyler Murray on the I Am Athlete Tonight podcast, and I am beside myself. So before we get into this, I'm just going to let you guys hear what he had to say.
Kyler Murray?
Trash.
Wow.
I'm overhyped. Overrated. Trash?
He put like a high school player. Runs around.
I think he's overhyped. Game,
runs backwards. He does a circle, the ballerina circle, then goes left, goes right, turns all the way around again, then looks for a wide receiver. He's trash. That's not how you play quarterback.
So Mahomes can do
He ain't Mahomes. And let me tell you about Mahomes real quick. Majority of Mahomes' passes are timing, right? Third step, hit, boom, ball's out. Fifth step, hit, boom, ball's out. Now, sometimes he goes off script because we all can do that. So I'm running to the left sometimes, running to the right sometimes. But then I might stop and cut back. I go off script. Not every pass. Every pass is holding the ball. Let's make a miracle. Just watch the guy. Every game he's played, watch him play. It's really embarrassing, to be honest. Like, who's coaching this kid? Now, when they say, we want to sign you a big contract for $100 million, but you got to watch certain film. Now that makes sense. I see why. Because he ain't reading no coverages. When a quarterback, look, to all you listeners out there, when a quarterback is running around like that all day, all night, all game, that's because he's not reading any coverages.
Oh, he just roasted him.
Like, to oblivion off the face of the planet, roasted.
My gosh. Those are some strong words. Now, LeSean McCoy does not shy away from speaking his mind, even if it's a little over the top. So that's just sort of his personality. But
that was OTT to the max. Oh, my God.
Here's the thing with Kyler. He's actually kind of like polarizing. Like, the narratives that surround him are either like, oh, he's this, you know, like incredible talent and like the future, and I wouldn't want anyone else as my quarterback. And that's like, that could be like one narrative. Mm-hmm. And then another narrative could be like, you know, stuff about his character. He can't make any reads. He, you know, like needs to study more. No wonder there was a study clause in his contract at one point. Like,
yeah,
the narratives around him are so like polar opposite, but they exist. And like, I feel like there's nobody that's like, Mom, he's an okay quarterback. Like, he's good. You know, like not the best, but like he's good. I feel like it's like you either think he's like the best quarterback or you think he's trash, like LeSean McCoy called him. That's like really unfortunate that he is like has those narratives.
Listen, I don't want to say I told you so, but I'm going to say I told you so. When this offseason drama all went down with Kyler deleting his Instagram pictures, with the contract extension, with like the study clause, like all of this, when all this happened, we both sat here on this podcast and said Kyler Murray has to come out of the gate looking like a quarterback who earned every dollar of that contract extension, or this narrative, which we're hearing right now, is exactly what was going to happen because of the major stink that happened before the contract extension and after the contract extension happened. And if Kyler didn't put up or shut up, everyone and their mama and their grandmama out there was going to be calling Kyler Murray a fraud. And that's what's happening. Like, I don't want to put all of this on Kyler Murray's shoulders because this is not all of his fault. Like, there have been injuries, there have been suspensions, there have been players that we're supposed to be something and haven't been something.
And Isaiah Simmons, gameplay calling,
like whatever. There's been so many things that have led to this happening. But at the end of the day, Kyler Murray has not looked like the quarterback that earned this extension in the offseason. And now this narrative is what is a result of that. They haven't scored in the first two quarters of a football game in the last 3 weeks. Like, I'm sorry, but that's not a quarterback that has like done anything to make me feel like this contract extension was well-deserved, like all of the other outside factors aside. I'm sorry, but I knew this was going to happen. And I think this is a result of like all the craziness that happened before the season started. I'm not surprised.
At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what anyone else says, but I just thought it was interesting. Like if it was just, you know, just another talking head on a podcast, I wouldn't have thought that the comment was significant. But this is a comment or a podcast that's hosted by, you know, professional athletes. Obviously, you know, LeSean McCoy, a former Pro Bowler, and Brandon Marshall's on that podcast as well. And I forget the others, but these are guys that have experience that should very much know what they're talking about. Even if you think that like, oh, well, he's just trying to say certain stuff because he's wanting to go viral or whatever. Josh Hunt saying, does he scramble because he's trash or does he scramble because he's under pressure all the time? It could be a combination of both. But if somebody who's played the game is telling me like, listen, it doesn't seem like this guy is capable of reading defenses and some of his actions show that, then I don't know. Maybe it's just something to consider is all I'm saying.
Yeah, it was definitely strong words and they gave me so much anxiety that I need an OGs. Yeah. My anxiety is through the roof. And OGs just did something that is totally going to change the game. They just launched their brand new Sleep Edition gummies. And you won't want to sleep on these. But you heard us right. OGs is now flavoring dreams with a 2-for-1 THC-CBN ratio gummy. CBN is a compound that helps successfully with falling and staying asleep. This Sleep Edition gummy is in their new aquaberry flavor, which I do have to admit rivals my all-time favorite flavor, orange creamsicle. The aqua berry is right up there. It is so good. We highly recommend you check out OGs online at OGsBrands.com and on Instagram at OGsBrands. You can also find their products at your local dispensary, but you must be 21 years or older to purchase. But if you have a problem like me falling asleep, these new gummies are life-changing. So go to your local dispensary and pick some of those up because, man, they are glorious. All right, Cheerson. There's been things on the internet. Some internet things have happened.
Yeah, there certainly have. Lots of conversations. Let's just start with like the light and fun stuff. Maybe we should flip it. Should we start with the heavy stuff and end with the
light?
Yeah,
and end with some sad stuff. But happy stuff. We do have some things though that made us say, did you see this? Because the internet will always remain undefeated, and anything you see on the internet is just something to talk about. And we're going to talk about it right now.
Okay, let's get the heavy stuff out of the way. Yes. It's kind of what everyone's talking about in the NFL right now. Obviously, if you watched yesterday's game, Thursday night football game, you saw what happened to Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa, who... Has it been diagnosed as a concussion? Did anyone see exactly what that, like, final diagnosis was? He was injured. He was taken to the hospital.
His injuries were negative with nothing broken. The quarterback did travel with a neck brace. His initial scans, he's slated to undergo an MRI later today.
Okay.
But he seemed in good spirits, and he was comforted by his family at the hospital.
All right. So I didn't want to, like, just label a concussion if it hasn't been diagnosed.
I mean, I'm sure it will be.
But we can all just assume that it was after he was hit. He showed all of the signs that he was concussed. He got carted off, taken to the hospital. But something happened just a few days ago in their game against the Bills.
Literally, where, like, 4 days ago.
Yes. Where it also seemed like he had been concussed potentially because of the way that he was taken down and the way that his head hit the grass. And then obviously when he was coming back onto the field, he collapsed and he just said that it was a back injury. And so, you know, you got to take him for his word. But there was a lot of speculation that he suffered a brain injury in that game and then went out, played again. And it's easier. Let's just let's just for hypothetical, what a lot of people think happened was that maybe he was concussed and then 4 days later turned around. If you're concussed or have a brain injury, it's a lot easier to get another one if you already have one.
Yep,
and so then that happened in this game as well. And so, you know, that's there's a lot of speculation and a lot of opinions surrounding this, but they're adamant on the Dolphins side of things that he did not suffer a concussion in that Bills game. So, and I would say that just taking a look at the hit that he took last night, he probably would have gotten like concussed anyway. He was knocked out. Like, I don't know that he would have had to have had a concussion a few days prior to have also like been knocked out and had a concussion, because that hit was very, very hard.
Yeah, the hit was awful. And also shame on Amazon for replaying that hit over and over again. I did not want to see that, but thanks anyways.
Well, a lot of people were talking about that specific point on Twitter as well.
Yeah. A couple Cardinals players tweeted out J.J. Watt saying, "Stop showing the replays, please." I think we all shared in that sentiment when we were watching that.
Seriously.
Justin Pugh saying,
124,000 likes.
Yeah.
Too.
The Miami Dolphins just failed to. How could you let him on the field after last week, especially on short week? Shame on everyone involved and shame on Amazon for continually showing it.
Yeah.
What happened on that field yesterday was gross negligence.
Yeah.
The Miami Dolphins owed Tua better than what he got. Like, of course, I understand that Tua had some, maybe a little bit of responsibility in saying, "Hey, I don't think I should play this week." Like, he had a little bit of control in that situation. But
anyone you're just assuming, though. You're just assuming.
Yeah. Anyone with two eyes and a brain cell could have seen what happened to him in that Buffalo Bills game and said, maybe we need to be extra cautious. Like, maybe you should set this week out. Like, it's a short week. Like, it's kind of scary. Like, anyone with the brain cell could have seen that he was hurt.
Okay, so Mike McDaniel doubled down today on Tua going back and finishing that Buffalo game. I totally understand the concern and appreciate the concern. I can tell you beyond the eyeball test, he did not have a head injury. So they are like doubling down on the fact that he did not suffer a head injury in that game.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it for a second. Like, you saw how he collapsed. Like, you don't collapse if you're fine. That is just beyond
me. He said
me.
It was his back.
I don't agree. And I don't, even if it wasn't his head and it was some other like part on his body, like there needed to be more evaluation, more time taken into the sake of his health. Like, the NFLPA opened an investigation into it and they still let him play regardless of the NFLPA's investigation. Like, gross, gross negligence on behalf of the Miami Dolphins. They deserve every ounce of criticism they're getting. They should have never let Tua take that field. They failed him. The league failed him. Like, I'm sorry, but that was unacceptable on every way, shape, and form. Tua should never have taken that field. And now he potentially has a traumatic brain injury, and it could have been avoided if they would have just taken some precautionary measures and making sure that he was healthy before he went back.
So I think that it would have happened on that specific hit regardless of what happened a few days prior.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take the stance of, I'm going to listen to, like, I'm going to take them for their word and what happened in the Buffalo game, because I do not think that it was because of that he, you know, was injured last night. Like, he would have had a head injury of some sort on that hit regardless. Like, it knocked the dude out.
Yeah.
So I personally am not going to stand here and like tie the two together, although many people feel like that's the right thing to do. And there's definitely that narrative out there. I cannot do that. But I do think that it is opening up a discussion that needs to be had about concussions. Like, we need to continue to have this discussion, no doubt. And it should be like looked into further as well. So at least that is something that is coming out of this that might be good. And hey, like, Tua is very loved around the country, just like a great guy that people root for, whether you root for the Dolphins or not. And I hope and pray for his safety that he is not like severely, you know, his health has been severely jeopardized by this whole situation.
Yeah.
A quick part of this narrative that I feel like is left out a lot is like the doctors. There's a doctor, Jorge Caballero, on Twitter that I saw some tweets from. Like, first off, the doctors that are responsible for making these decisions are quote unquote unaffiliated. And Dr. Caballero makes the point that like there's a big difference between unaffiliated and independent. Like, these doctors generally, like, for the most part, they work for these teams, and like they're in a hard position when they're like basically
pressured.
Yeah, like they're pressured or lose your job type thing. And then also in the 10 doctors on the between the Dolphins and Bengals staffs, not a single one of them is a neurologist or a neurosurgeon. So like
that needs to be looked at.
Exactly.
That needs to be addressed.
These doctors are
unbelievable.
They're in a situation where they're not even like
qualified.
Really qualified to be making these decisions. And then there's always obviously the NFL probably doesn't take this stuff all that seriously, and they the quote unquote protocols aren't.
They've had enough lawsuits have like come to light, and they're still in and dealing with a heck of a mess. Like maybe they should get out in front of it.
Yeah, and that's what this doctor here made the point, that it's like it's not an accident that none of these doctors are not neurologists or neurosurgeons. Like it's part of the, as he calls it, the game behind the game. Like you can't put that, like if you don't have the people qualified to make these decisions, then the right decisions aren't going to get made, and then ultimately benefits the NFL. So it's all just kind of a messy situation that no one is really like. Tua obviously is a competitor. He's going to want to play no matter what. Mike McDaniel is a first time head coach who's not a doctor. He's ultimately only going to be able to listen to the doctors.
That's his job. He goes off of what the medical staff tells him to do. It's not his fault.
And then it's a medical staff that's not properly trained for this stuff. So it's a tough situation.
The NFL is failing their players.
I need
to
shower.
Until player safety is taken seriously, I just don't have any words for how gross this whole situation is. But regardless, our thoughts and prayers are with Tua, and hopefully everything turns out okay health-wise. All right, let's talk about some uniforms. Switch gears a little bit here.
End this thing on a high note.
We got some new uniforms in the valley. This week, two basketball programs here in Arizona revealed some new uniforms. The Arizona Wildcats released their new basketball uniforms, and they had the most incredible hype video that they announced these uniforms with on Twitter. So shout out to the University of Arizona Athletics for making this sweet video. It has a lot of cool historical basketball figures in it, a tribute to Lou Olsen, and the uniforms are sick.
I love
those. I am a Sun Devil through and through, but I can appreciate a good uniform when I see it, and that is a good uniform. I am so excited to see those in action because we do cover the Wildcats here at PHNX. If you haven't checked out the PHNX Wildcats podcast with Iron Mike Luke, I definitely recommend doing so. So those are those fire uniforms. And then the Suns, they also released some new uniforms as well. I freaking love these things. They've gotten some mixed reactions on the internet, but I'm a huge fan. These are replacing the Valley uniforms, and I think they do the Valley uniforms justice. They kind of have a tribute to that gradient in there while also being new and different. And I especially love the shorts. The shorts go crazy stupid. But I love this uniform, Cheerson.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to comment on the Arizona
uniforms. Well, go ahead. You can comment on both of them. Comment away. It's your show.
I just wanted to say that I'm a big Lute Olsen fan. Yeah. And I know how much he means to the Tucson community and to the Arizona Wildcats community. And so the fact that his name is on those jerseys is like chef's kiss, like times 10, like well done. Like honoring and paying homage to some of the greats, whether it's coaches or players like Steve Kerr, is such an amazing touch. So I think they nailed it with those uniforms.
Yeah.
On the Sun side of things, obviously there's nothing like sentimental there, but I think they're really,
Cool.
I think they're cool. I don't know why anyone wouldn't like them. I have no idea why anyone would not like them. I think they're great. Like,
obviously they're not as amazing as the Valley jerseys are. I think those will forever and always be my favorite Suns
jersey. Well, it's hard to like live up to exactly what that
is. But it does a damn pretty good close job. And I think they're awesome. They're new, they're innovative, they're stylish. I'm a big fan. I think basketball jerseys are the coolest in all of the four major sports. So
that's a hot take.
There's so much going on that if you have not downloaded the Underdog app,
Underdog Fantasy app, you gotta do
that. It is
so like, much fun.
Playing fantasy sports to me, and I've said that, like, this is my take on fantasy sports, because you can, it's more interactive with like coworkers, with friends. Like, it is so fun to play, and to play like the way that it's set up, where you can create your own teams based on a game, the way that Underdog Fantasy does it, is so much dang fun. I find myself like always wanting to like, hey, do you want to get in on, you know, on this or that on the Underdog Fantasy app?
And it like Derek won $1,000 on this thing. Like,
and you can win some money.
He bet the over and under on pitch count for 5 different pitchers and they all hit and he won $1,000. So this app is one of a kind.
Yeah. So I think the way that he went about it is he just like picked, you know, some pitchers that he thought would do well or not do well, but you can, you know, pick your favorite players. You can
pick your least favorite players.
You could pick between 2 and 5 of them for pickup entries specifically. And then obviously whether you think they're going to end up with a higher or lower total than the stat in this week's game, whatever that is. If you get all of your picks right, you can win up to 20 times your money in one single night. So yeah, obviously Derek, he just won $1,000. So we keep talking about it because we're like, dang, lucky.
I won $1,000.
Yeah. I've never had that much success because I'm not good at picking, apparently. But if you're good like Derek, like
in any facet of life,
by all means, yeah. But in any facet, really, in life.
Social relationships.
But when you download the app, make sure to use the code PHNX. Again, that's over at the Underdog Fantasy app.
Woo. Last thing, Kirsten, I don't know if you have $3 billion lying around. Maybe we could win $3 billion on the Underdog Fantasy app because guess what? The price tag on the Suns is estimated to be about $3 billion. It will be the largest sports franchise sale in history.
In NBA history.
Do you got some $3 billion lying around? Maybe we could do a GoFundMe and everyone can pitch in with all of our earnings.
I know several people that do have that kind of money laying around. Maybe not laying around, but have that money to their name. So
wait, you just casually know a few billionaires?
Knows billionaires on the
I
pod?
I know of.
Okay,
you didn't sound like you had a personal relationship with Jeff Bezos.
I was going through my contact list. I got Jeff here. I got Bob Iger here.
Yeah, I was on their PJ the other day.
Oh, okay. Now she knows what a PJ means.
This is great. I mean, I think like obviously a lot has to do with like when the last time a team was sold and what the team was and this and that and like
inflation.
Whatever. And exactly.
Today's price was not yesterday. What's the yesterday's price is not today's price.
Yes, exactly. there's a lot of like factors that go into it, but the Suns franchise is stinking valuable. And so that just kind of like makes me feel good to know that like this is going to be like a historic sale when it does happen. Like
whoever's going to buy this team's going to have some money, honey.
Yeah. And hopefully they have more money that they want to invest in the team itself.
And in the community. Woo! New owners. I for one hope it's a woman. I would love to see the Apple Guy's widow by, I forget her name. That is horrible. I'm sorry. That is not how she probably wants to be known. But I would love to see her by the team. I'd love to have a woman owner in the Valley for once. I think it would be great for the organization. And what a statement to make after the shit show Robert Sarver just made. So hopefully we can see a female owner. I would love to see that. I don't know about you, but it'd be a good one.
Lorraine Powell Jobs. Is that who you're talking about?
That's the one. Thank you.
Thank you, Sean. Saving the day.
All right. Well, Kirsten, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for the weekend.
Golly, I'm so excited.
Woo! Thank you guys so much for watching and commenting along. You are all our absolute favorites. We love you for watching our show and for commenting along with us. If you want to join the family, head on over to gophnx.com and sign up for a membership. You can get your first month for only 50 cents. Or if you sign up for an annual membership, you'll get a free t-shirt from the PHNX locker along with a ton of great benefits. We've got so many fun events coming up and members will get discounted pricing to those events. So there's tons of reasons why you should sign up to be a member now so that you can come hang out with us at a discounted price. I hope you guys all have a wonderful weekend and don't forget that we will see you again next Friday at 12:30 right here on the Phoenix Sports Podcast. Bye.
Have a great weekend.